To start our fellowship teaching today by you guys having something to say. And I want us to say something that goes along like this. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Are you ready? I have what the Word of God says I have. I am what the Word of God says I am. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now we're going to work on that. And every morning when you get out of bed, why don't you say that? In fact, before your feet hit the floor, why don't you say that? I want you to understand the power of words. Now we don't understand the power of words yet, but we're going to. We understand that when God spoke, things happened in the beginning of this earth. Our words have the same potential power. The Bible says that words have the power of life and death, that the words do. It says that the tongue can control life like the rudder on a mighty ship controls the ship. What we need to do is bridge that into practicality. In other words, understand that your words have power. If you say positive words, positive things generate from that. If you say negative words generate from that. That is a biblical truth. Today I'm going to be teaching out of the verses up here on the board. We're going to start in Philippians chapter 3, and you can turn there. Now for you guys on the phone, you're just going to have to be real fast, okay? But we're going to be in Philippians and Matthew and Ecclesiastes and even Philippians again in Genesis and Psalms, 2 Corinthians, 1 Timothy, Zechariah. That's going to be the hardest one for you to find. It's right at the end of the Old Testament, though. So maybe go and find Zechariah 9 and Isaiah and then Job. I'd like to read a poem, and Susan Coolidge wrote this. We're going to be talking about forgetting the past and pressing forward. Moving forward in life. Now's the time. Now's the time to forget. Now's the time to move forward. The past is now a part of forever, bound up in a sheath which God holds tight, with glad days and sad days and bad days which never shall visit us more. With their bloom or their blight, their fullness of sunshine or sorrowful night. Folks, the past is gone. It will never be repeated. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You have to do that part. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. You have to do that part. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You're the one that has to press. Many of you are familiar with that verse, but I dare say that most of you are not familiar with the action required. And what we need to do is become expectant people in that we can dissolve the past and we can move forward. We must have an attitude of forwardness. We can't have an attitude of the past. Our past will defeat us. In fact, your past poisons your future. If you hold on to your past, it actually poisons wherever you're going. And so you end up taking your past with you. You don't want to do that because God expects for you to live according to the life that He made available to you. He wants you to live. Now, the past has the potential to kill. It will bring in a form of death. Now, you might not call it that, but you know what it feels like. If you're just thinking about the past, you've got feelings, you've got thoughts, you've even got actions associated with that. But what it does is it confines you to a state of no movement. You're not moving at all in life. You're stuck. And it's almost like being walking dead. Well, you don't want that. One of your greatest temptations in life will be to hold on to the past. You're tempted with that every day. Hold on to the past. Hold on to it. Don't let it go. Maybe your peers make you think that you have to go through such and such because of some past thing, and you can't let it go. You always have to look a little sad. You always have to look a little remorseful. You always have to be a little under the weather or under the gun or under pressure because of what you've gone through. No, you don't want to do that. Your temptation in life, perhaps one of your greatest, is to hold on to the past. You just have to learn to let go. I was talking with my wife, and we've been discussing this walking by faith thing. And faith means believing. One of the greatest verses in the Bible, out of Romans 1:17, says, "The just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. If you're ever going to do then as Jesus also said, that we're to walk by faith, not by sight, somewhere along the line, you have to learn to flick the switch. Because you're going to walk by sight up to a certain point. But once you meet the impediments of life, when you know you can't do anything about, you then have to flip the faith switch, the believing switch, where you just give it to God. You give it to God with your words. Now, a lot of people like to think, but a lot of people don't like to speak. And if you can get to understand the power of your words, that you can speak a blessing or you can speak a cursing, you need to be speaking blessings. You need to be speaking what it is you want to see. God expects you to see the greatest thing in your life. He expects everything positive for you. Why, He showered upon you every mercy and grace there ever was. But it's up to you to tap into that. It's up to you to then speak that forth. When you wake up in the morning, what about saying things like, "Well, God, I expect your mercy and your grace in my life today and everything that I do. I expect it to abound beyond anything I could ever see." You have to learn to flip the switch. If you don't flip the switch, nothing's going to happen. And your past will hold you back from flipping that switch. So you have to defeat your greatest temptation. Your greatest temptation is going to be to stay in the past, to think all the old thoughts, to stay in all the old ways, to manifest all the old habits. It's going to be your greatest temptation. Because if the greatest thing you could ever do is live the life that Jesus Christ made available to you, the greatest temptation is going to be to not live that. And you decide if you're going to live it or not. God doesn't decide that. He's made it available, but you have to decide it. So when you wake up in the morning, I told Michelle this morning, you ought to thank God. And I told her different things to say. Before your feet ever hit the floor, that's what I said as I walked out the room. Before your feet hit the floor. You should be so ready to claim God's greatness for your life. So ready. Nothing should deter you from changing a temptation into the greatest taste treat of life. To have all the greatness of God's life in you manifested. You need to learn to recognize the things that hold you back in life. What holds you back? Many things can hold you back. Holding on to your past by not letting go of bad relationships, bad job situations, bad people experiences, bad marriages, bad children experiences, bad everything. All that stuff is the stuff you tend to hold to. The Bible doesn't ever say cling to the past. It does say cleave to that which is good, stick like glue, but it also says to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. At some point, you have to stop clinging to the old and you have to start pressing to the new. You have to do it. Some of you might not be happy with yourselves. Do you know that statistically, most people's problems, why they have to get counseling, why they're not happy in life, come from because they are not willing to accept who they are. They are not willing to accept what God has made them. You must accept what God has made you. God made you you for a reason. He wants you to be busy living your Christ-like life as you are, because you can affect people as you are. Some of you don't like how much you weigh. Some of you don't like what color your hair is. Some of you don't like if you're Chinese or Mexican or white or anything in between. Let me tell you, folks, that has nothing to do with the spiritual walk. What has everything to do with the spiritual walk is that you believe that God made you the way you are for a reason. And you can't hold on to anything that holds you back from living your life as you are. He made you you because that's exactly what He wanted you to be. Now you must accept that. So what kind of things hold you back? What kind of thoughts hold you back? Sour relationships? A lost soul? Abusive pains? A broken job? A love gone by? Oh, the list goes on. There's so many things that you could put in there, things of your own. If you don't get rid of the old, there will be no place for the new. Matthew chapter 9 tells us something about trying to use old things for new. In Matthew 9 verse 17, we learn that they didn't put new wine in old wineskins. Now back then, they didn't have bottles. When they stored wine, they made them out of animal skins. Well, they had to be a new, it had to be a new bottle with new animal skin, so it was soft and pliable. And then he put the new wine in there, and when they did that, it filled up, expanded, but it didn't break. Now, if they were to take and put new wine in an old skin, it would actually cause the old wine skin that had already been used to burst. You don't replace old with old. You've got to learn to get rid of the old and replace it with new. Now, I know you might be afraid to do that. You're thinking, oh gosh, but you don't understand, Jerry. This is my life. I've lived this way for the last 20 years. I just can't get rid of that. I'm here to tell you, folks, you can. You can learn to stop thinking certain things and start thinking other things. You have to learn to resist the temptation. You look at a person and say, well, they must have an emotional problem. They tell me all the time how fearful they are and how hurt they are and all this. And I say, I don't think they have an emotional problem at all. I think they have a thought problem. Because the Bible tells us that we're supposed to think certain things. And I'm going to show you that in a minute. Do you know that in life, we have seasons? Ecclesiastes chapter 3 tells us that. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1 says, to everything there's a season. And a time to every purpose under the heaven. You know what seasons are? They're bits of time. They're not lifetimes. They're bits of time. They might be a month. They might be 3 months. They might be a week and they might be a day. But they're bits of time. They're little tiny bits of time. They're not lifetimes. A time to be born. Well, the wife might have thought that lasted a week or two. But it actually really only lasted a few minutes when it came down to it. A time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal. These are times. How many of you ever healed from something? Well, you know that when you finally got healed, it was over with. You didn't spend a lifetime healing. Okay? A time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance? How many of you have ever mourned? Well, you only want to do that for a little bit, right? You don't want to stay mournful your whole life. God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to flourish with the greatness of Him. That's what He wants. He doesn't want anything to change that. Now, maybe you feel so established in your way of life that you just can't change. I'm telling you, you can. I'm telling you, you have to decide that you're going to change. You have to want the new in order to get rid of the old. You must build a desire. You must be eager. You must have passion to change, passion to develop yourself. If you choose to stay where you're at, you'll never move forward. Never. You can't because you chose not to. Choose to move forward. That's what God wants for your life. He doesn't want you to hold on to anything negative, anything bad. He doesn't want you to stand approved by your peers that seem to force you to have to stay mournful, to have to stay sad, to have to hold on to the negatives. Your peers will do that to you. They'll make you think, now you shouldn't be so happy right now. So-and-so just died in your life and, well, let's give it 5 years, okay? They give you some kind of standard and you don't want that. God's word has to be your standard. Folks, if God's word is your standard, you're standing tall. That's what you want. You want to stand tall. God doesn't want you bent over. He doesn't want you sad and beat down. He wants you built up. You know, we all carry baggage. Every one of you walked into this room with something in your head. Some positive, some negative. But you brought baggage. Okay? Now you have to look at your baggage and say, do I want to carry that around? When you walk into a room, if it's the first time, you try to hide all your baggage. Everybody know what I'm talking about. But as you get to know those people, or maybe just one person, say on your first date, you realize, well, my baggage is going to start coming out. Now, if you can imagine walking into a room with a bunch of suitcases tied on your back, and as you walk around, they're flying around and knocking people all the time, that's exactly what your negative baggage does to people. And you need to learn to cut it off. You need to learn to drop your past. Get over it. Okay? Now, there's good memories, and you can hold on to those. But if you have anything that's holding you back, you don't want to hold on to that. That's what you have to figure out. And you can do that. Why? Because God wants His best for you. He expects you to live His best. And there's no gray in this. It's really black and white. And so you have to become highly instrumental in playing that instrument of life. You've got to make the tune. You've got to say, we're getting rid of that old music and we're going to make new music. And I'm going to love it every day. And I'm going to start every morning. When I wake up in the morning, before I get out of bed, I'm going to say I am what the Word of God says I am. I'm going to say I have what the Word of God says I have. I'm going to say I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I'm going to say I can do all things that the Word of God says I can do. For it says I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Then let your feet hit the floor. If you start your day with negatives, your day is going to stay negative. The first thing you want to do is something positive. You learn some verses. I just taught you one. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Start your day positive. Why? Because of the power of words. Oh, I hope you get this. I hope that you see that the words have power. The words that you speak can be a blessing or a cursing to others, but to you. So you must speak words that bless your life. You know, in the Old Testament, remember Isaac and Esau and Jacob and the blessing? And Jacob was the firstborn, but the problem was that Esau was going to go get the birthright, and he didn't deserve it. He wasn't the firstborn, but Daddy liked him maybe a little bit more, it seemed like. But Mommy liked Jacob more. Mommy heard about this and said, listen, we're going to get you dressed up in Esau's clothes and get you smelling kind of woolly here. And I'm going to put you in there with the meal so Isaac blesses you. And gets. Why did they fight over the blessing, folks? That's the point. Because the blessing made a big deal. The blessing determined an entire course of a new life. Because of the power of the words. If somebody's blessed you, you're still blessed with those words. If somebody's cursed you, you're still cursed. And what you need to learn is to break that curse by stopping what you do negatively. You must learn to bring an end to a negative lifestyle and bring a new beginning to a new and wonderful lifestyle. Maybe your family has had negatives in their life. Maybe you've never been able to completely undo these things. But I'm telling you, you can. You must claim what's rightfully yours as a Christ-filled Christian. And you claim the end of no money, financial repression. You claim the end of emotional abuse. You claim the end of every negative that ever happened to you. And you start anew. That's your job. That's your job. And you do it the first thing in the morning. Before your feet ever hit the floor, You're claiming God's blessings. You're claiming His presence in your life. You're claiming His mercy and His grace in your life. You must do that. If you don't do it, you're going to stay the same. Well, we know that there's a time for many things, and they're called seasons. A time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the season of speaking. It's time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Well, how long should a season last? Well, you're going to have to figure that one out. But if you've been staying in something for a year or more, you know the time's passed. I don't know of anything that requires that. Not in your personal life, that is. Now, if there's a time of war, who knows how long they last. But I'm not talking about that. Unless it's a war in your soul. If it's a war in your own soul, it's truly time for it to come to an end. Let the seasons pass. Let them pass. We're given such beautiful examples in the world where we have the summer and the fall and the spring and the winters, and we let them pass so that we can enjoy a new one. Well, that's God's lesson to you. I want your seasons to pass, He says. I want your seasons to change. Change brings new life for you from me. That's what God's message is to you just through watching the seasons change. Do you know in the Bible, when they grieved, they let him have maybe a month? And after that, it was time to get going. It was actually time to get going. So let the season be a season. If you're taking years to get over something that should only take months, recognize it and realize that it's time for that season to come to an end. It's time. Time to move on. Don't allow the past to hold you back. And don't carry a bunch of baggage around that you know you don't like anyway. Let God flourish in your life with His life. If you want bags, keep the Word of God in your mind. That's the bag you need. Let that Word of God fill up your mind. And then whenever you need something, you go to that Word and you bring it up. When I talked about learn to flip on the switch of faith, so to speak, and faith means believing, where you believe in God, where you trust in Him for whatever you need, you know when it's time to flip that switch, when you're walking by sight and you come up to the obstacles that you know you can't overcome. You need to learn to speak to that mountain and introduce that mountain to your God. You've got to let God move that mountain for you. You've got to get to the place in your life that you flip that switch of faith. And when you know you can't do anymore, you flip it and say, God, this is yours. I expect your favor, your love, your mercy, and your grace to absolutely abound in this situation. That's how you do it at school. That's how you do it at work. That's how you do it in your marriage. That's how you do it with your kids. You've got to pass this word out with the power of words. Oh, many people love to think, but they don't like to speak. You learn to speak, not only before your feet hit the ground in the morning, but while they're running through the day. Let that word of God be on your lips. And claim what God wants for your life and expect it to come to pass. Now, we all like to say, well, I talk. I know God's word. But do we say, I expect it to come to pass? What are our expectations? Are our expectations negative because we've been without money for so long? How about our health? Are our expectations for health so bad because we've not been healed from a sickness for so long? What is it that you're holding on to? What expectations do you need to change so that the greatness of God's worth just flowers in your life, absolutely blossoms in your life, so that there's no denying it? You have to decide what those are, And then you speak the blessings of God onto those things, into those things. And you don't succumb to the temptations of the past. You just don't do it. If you hold on to the past, your future is poisoned. And if your life is soured today, you know that you're holding on to the past of yesterday. No one should have a sour past. If you're toting around all these bags and you just can't ever seem to let them down, to just walk away from them, you know, like they tell you in the airport, any unoccupied bag is going to be confiscated. Hold on to your bags. If you see anything, call this number. Hey, if you see any of those bags, just leave them alone, okay? Any of those bags filled with all the negatives, just leave them alone and walk away from them. You've got to learn to do that. Well, remember that guy that was mountain climbing and he got his arm stuck under a boulder, like an 800-pound boulder, and he couldn't do anything. He spent 5 days. He only had 3 days of food and water. That was long gone. By the end of the fifth day, he has a little pocket knife. That's all he had. He was trying to chisel the rock away to try to get his arm out. Well, his arm had died. It was just as dead as a doornail. Okay? It was just dead. Dead. It had no movement, had no life. It was ugly color and dead, lifeless. And he said, well, I'm either going to die with this dead arm or I've got to do something about it. And what he did is he took his knife and he cut his arm off. He put a tourniquet up here and he cut his dead arm off so that he could live. And you have to decide what you're going to cut off. What kind of death are you going to cut out of your life so that you can live? This is what God wants for you. He doesn't want you holding on to death. If you've got a dead member, a dead thing in your life, you need to cut it off and walk away from it. He walked for two miles and finally somebody found him. And he's fine today. There are things in your life that you must cut away. You must absolutely cut away. Leave them behind. Dead memories, problems, leave them behind so that you can once again live. Well, one of the greatest keys to doing this is learning to think godly thoughts. We find that in Philippians chapter 4. And in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. It says, think on these things. That's what you think about. Well, now, God knows the power of words. He knows the power of thoughts, how that your very thoughts direct your very actions. If you're sitting around thinking negative thoughts, you're going to be a negative person. If you have sour thoughts in your mind, you're going to have a sour life. He wants you to think good things. He wants you to think positive things. Well, he says, true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, praiseful things. That's what he wants you thinking on. Well, that's what he expects you to do. What do you do? I want you to think good thoughts. You might say, now that's silly, Jerry. I've got a regular life to live. I've got to deal with all these negative people out there. Why, I've got a negative work situation. And my marriage isn't going so well. And, well, you know, my kids. Oh, my gosh. All the stuff I've gone through, and you expect me to think good thoughts? Well, yes, I do. I absolutely do. Folks, if you can understand that you can control your destiny, I know you might not like that word, but it's where you're going, except that you decide. If you can understand that, you're going to go there. There's no reason for you to ever hold yourself back. You say, well, Jerry, I've never seemed to go there. It seems like I never get there. Well, then you're not doing enough, because God is willing and able. You have to do your part, though. And you have to be hopeful. Remember I taught about being a prisoner of hope? Chain yourself to it. Chain yourself to hope. Chain yourself to hope. Your expectations might bring what you want at your next turn in life. You don't know. Chain yourself to hope. Let God provide for you by you turning on your expectations. I say you've got to turn on that faith, where you believe in God and trust in Him that He's going to deliver you. But now I'm going to tell you something else. You need to turn on your expectations. I told my daughter, I says, you got to see yourself as doing what you want to do. You got to see yourself as being that prime play person, you know, the actress in the play. She wants to try out for something and thinks that the other people have already got it. I'm saying God's favor can abound in your life. Why not expect it? Why limit your life? You have no right to limit your life. That's what I'm telling you right now. What right do you have to live less than a super Christian conqueror? You don't have a right to do that. Now, I know you might not like me to say that to you, but I'm going to say it anyway, because I know God wants you to be a super Christian conqueror. I know He wants you to live your life so that it's to the fullest every day. Not just next week, not just 20 years ago, but every day. You say, well, I used to have a pretty good life. Things used to go pretty well for me. I'm pretty proud of that 20 years ago thing. You know, what about today, folks? What about tomorrow? Do you want to change? Do you want to see this stuff come up again? When Jesus went up to those people that needed to be healed and He says, do you believe I can do this? What was the first thing that happened in their hearts? Believing started to rise. It started to rise in their hearts. Their expectation started to rise. Where's your expectation for a new life? For the greatness of all that God has provided for you to come to pass? Where is your expectation? Well, that leads me to passion. You must have passion for things. Oh, I know I think things, but I don't speak things. Now I'm telling you, you need to speak things. If you want to be passionate, you've got to act passionate. You've got to speak passionately. You can't just be mundane. Not if you have powerful words. Not if you have the power to bless or to curse. You must learn to harness your words and drive your life with them. Because if you've spoken it, it's happening. That's the power of words. Well, parents, when you raise your children, you don't want to curse them. Oh, they might have problems. But your expectations ought to be that God fulfills His blessings in their lives, just like you want Him to fulfill them in yours. And maybe you haven't done that with your kids, but there's no better time than now. Maybe your kids are grown up and gone, but you can start doing it now. See, it's all in expectation of the spoken word. It's all in releasing the past and choosing to move forward. Expect God's best. Well, not just for you, but what about everybody? Why not? Everybody you have in contact with. Well, in fact, you must train your mind to get rid of the old. It's a training process. Some guy told me yesterday he couldn't do that. I told him how to do it. We were talking about how to fix a little clock thing, you know, his arms on the grandfather clock were just swinging freely. And he said, well, I never knew that. And I says, now you do. You've been instructed. Go do it. You need to train yourself. You've got to get out and do it yourself now. The guy doesn't have to bring his clock back and pay $50 to have them do it. He can just do it in 2 seconds right himself at home. Isn't that nice? So learn to train yourself and don't fall for the temptation to hold on to the past. You get rid of those old, worn-out, dead thoughts, those old habits, and you think on the new and wonderful things of God. Why, you've got to remain in control. You're the one at the helm. There's nobody else at the helm in your life. Oh, you might think Mom is. You might think Dad is. But let me tell you something. You know you are. You know you are. And you must forever remain in control of your life. You don't have the right to blame your life on anybody but yourself. Certainly, you might have gone through abusive situations. Certainly, you might have gone through negative things in your past. And I'm sorry that you did, but I'm telling you, it's time to drop them. The season's passed. It's time now to take on the new. It's time now to walk into the abundance that God has designed for you and designed you for. There's just no reason that you could ever stay negative. You don't have a reason good enough to tell me why you're staying sour. Why you can't smile. Why you can't have a good day every day. Now listen, folks. Jesus is the one that told us that we were going to have temptations in this life. He said that we're going to have troubles in this life. And that's a fact. But it's not all trouble. And it's not all temptation. And when we have those hard moments, we turn on that faith switch where we believe God, where we trust in God. If we don't have trouble, we're helping other people. But don't tell me why you can't do something. You don't have a good enough reason. I don't like the way I look. I never feel any better than this. Things never change. Don't tell me anything like that. Because God expects you to live a life of superabundance. Well, that's exactly right. It's really something to learn to let go. You tell me, well, I feel forced to think about it. I feel like I'm in prison to this thing. I've tried so many times, but I just never seem to be able to let go. I'm telling you, you can let go. You can change. You can drop off the past. You must have an I can do attitude, because the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But you must replace it with something else. How much baggage do you have? Well, you need to look at it. You look at it and you say, I've had enough with that one. Let's cut it off. You look at it and you say, I've had enough with that one. Let's cut it off. You're tired of being sour. You're tired of thinking that you got the short end of the stick because you were born a certain way. It's time to drop it. It's time to move on to the new and let God work in your life and allow you to become the greatness of what He really wants you to be. It comes down to your choices. Really something, folks. Look in Genesis chapter 5. Do you know that God made you? And when He made you, He blessed you. This is how He designed man. You can't squeeze out of God's blessings no matter how hard you try. You say, I'm not good enough. I really have had too many problems in my life, and look what I'm going through now. That just proves it. God can't bless me. Folks, He already has. You've probably read it in Ephesians. But in Genesis chapter 5, verse 2, do you know what He did for mankind? It says He blessed them. Male and female created them and blessed them. And called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Well, folks, that blessing is on us today. We are still blessed people. And we are still made according to God's design. You have no right to hold on to anything old or negative because you think you don't deserve it. You deserve everything from God. You deserve all of His blessings. Why, He's seated you in the heavenlies. He's blessed you with all spiritual blessings. Well, it's time to start receiving them. And I don't mean a few. I mean, I want you to expect them every day of your life. I know you got to walk into that job. I know you got to deal with those people. I know you might have trouble in your marriages or with your kids or with whatever it is in your life. Okay? But it's time to walk in with a whole new boldness, a holy boldness, folks, and an expectation with a little passion behind it. That's what you need. There's no room for defeat in the life of a child of God. None. If you have any defeat in your life, it's not supposed to be there. Look at it, recognize it, and make it leave. But you got to replace it. Why, in Psalms chapter 59, you can have an expectation of mercy, the Bible says. Verse 16, but I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercies in the morning. What are you doing in the morning? Are you expecting God's mercy? Are you expecting His mercy in your life? Well, you should, because it should ever abound. When you wake up in the morning, you just thank Him for that. God, thank you for your mercy in my life today. An absolute superabundance of it, because the Bible also says exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. That's what He wants to give you. You have the right. You have access. When are you going to start doing it? This is what you need to do so that you can have the life you've been promised. John 10:10 tells us something we're all too familiar with. That O thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. You know that, don't you? Yeah, boy, you should have seen what he did last night. Hey, let's forget about that and let's walk into the greatness of Jesus Christ's promise. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, that's what you ought to have. And if your life is any less than that, you've got some rearranging to do. You've got some changing to go through. But you got to put yourself through it with your expectations, with your passions. Why? Because that's what God wants for you. God wants your deliverance. He wants your health. He wants your happiness. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. That's what he wants for you. Nothing less, ever. If your life is sour, if it's less than that superabundance that Jesus Christ promised, something's got to give here. You got to cut off the old. You got to walk away from it. That boy walked away from his arm, didn't he? And I bet you it's still under that boulder. He walked away from that arm. It's gone. It's over with. There's no going back, and there's no reviving it. There are things in your life that you cannot revive. Oh, you might think you can because you got a good memory of some part of it. But let me tell you something, folks. If it's dead, it's dead. You're not going to revive it. It's over with. If something's over with in your life, if that season is past, walk away. Just walk away. And walk into something new. But walk into it with expectation. Thank God for His mercy in that situation. Expect it to abound. Oh, you might feel you don't deserve it, but expect His mercy anyway. That's what that's all about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we learn that we're supposed to abound in everything. There's just no limit to the greatness of what we have before us. Now, I know you probably like to put fences up, but I'm going to ask you to not put any fences up this time. I'm going to ask you to open up your expectation and let it flood over the entire earth. Let your expectation grow. What do you want to become? What do you want to do? What's deep within your heart that you just love to see happen in your life? Well, that ought to be the beginning of your expectation, not the end. I don't want any fences. I want you to expect the greatness of what you dream about, and then I want you to 10,000 time it. I don't want you to think that you got to go do the little thing you figured that was the right thing to do and then say, that's all I need. I want you to say, that's the starting point. But when I walk into that place, something else is going to happen. Why, it says in verse 7, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Well, there we have the word grace. That's God's favor. You're His favorite. That's how I've taught you for years. You are God's favorite. Well, what does that mean to you today? Well, I still got all my problems, Jerry. I still got all this baggage, and I just can't seem to let it go. Why, I feel like I'm just a walking morgue. I can't get rid of my problems. I'm telling you right now, folks, that's not God's issue. That's yours. And it's time for you to speak His favor into your life. Well, you know when you got to do it, don't you? When you wake up. Every day when you wake up, I want you to talk about His favor. And I want you to thank Him that His favor abounds in everything that you touch. You've heard of the Midas touch. Let's call it the favor touch. Everything that you touch has God's favor abounding in it. Everything. Everything. No exceptions. Well, I've tried for so long to do this, Jerry, and you just don't know how hard I've worked. And nothing ever seems to happen, then maybe you don't have enough of God's favor in your life. Maybe it's time to release some of that. You have the power to release it. You thank God for His favor. Before those feet hit the floor, you better have favor all over them. I want God's favor in your life. I want you to talk about God's favor. God, I want you to favor my business today. I want to have preferential treatment everywhere I go. I want everybody to treat me preferentially. You say, well, Jerry, come on, man. Isn't that just a little pushing it? Isn't that just a little stretching it? Why, I'm really no better than all the other people. Well, now, wait a minute. First of all, as a Christian, you're way better, okay? Because you're God's favorite. But secondly, it's not you that's great in those situations where you get preferential treatment. It's God's favor that's great. When you walk into a place, well, this happened with Lynn and me the other day. We went to the restaurant and the guy says, here you are again. As soon as you come in, every day it's the same thing. The place just fills up. They just get so busy every time we go in there. And I said, well, that's just God's favor. It wasn't us. It was God's favor. And so you need to claim, you need to hold on to His favor. And so before your feet hit the floor, you say, well, God, thank you for your favor today, abounding in my life, in my football practice, in my play practice, in my job, in my health, in everything. You thank Him for His favor in everything. No exceptions. You've got to start doing that somehow. And that's exactly where you start. Do you know that if you expect His favor in your life, you're going to see things beyond? And I've taught you this a little bit. For instance, in Exodus 22, if a thief stole something and it was still alive, God expected that thief to give two back if he stole one, but to double it back. God's expectation for you is not just that man's going to double back, but He's going to double back whatever has been stolen from your life. Has a relationship been stolen from your life? Have your feelings, your excitement, your zeal for life been stolen from you? Have you been so emotionally abused or otherwise that there's big gaps in your life that you don't have what you really think you ought to have in your life because of some thief, because of some past situation? It's time for restoration. It's time for you to claim this restoration. It's time. It's a principle in God's Word. Do you know that it says He'll restore double? I told you to go to Exodus 22:4. Do you know that in 1 Timothy 5:17, that leaders are due double honor? Do you know that that comes from people? But if people are supposed to double honor their leadership in the church, then what do you think God's going to do? He does no less than man. And what about in Zechariah 9:12? We've talked about this before when we talked about prisoners of hope. And this is that one I told you might be hard to find. It's at the end of the Old Testament there almost. Zechariah chapter 9 and in verse 12, that God renders double to His prisoners of hope. He renders double. That's why I say your chains ought to be shackled to the hope itself. Now, hope is expectation that something's going to happen that you haven't seen yet. If you don't have hope, you don't have believing. And if you don't have believing, you'll never get to the place where you flip that switch of faith, where you flip that switch, where you trust in God, where you believe in God. You've got to have hope. So your first step there is to shackle yourself to hope. And you never lose sight of, well, not only the greatness of the return of Jesus Christ, but what about the greatness of your expectations in this life? That's all part of hoping. If you can hope for it, you can get it. That's what it tells us in Hebrews. But you got to be able to believe. So hope starts the believing process. Ah, Jerry, I love what you're saying. But I want to tell you, I've had too much trouble in my life. I am so discouraged that I cannot believe. And you know, the Bible tells us that you can get to that place. But the step out is the step into hope. The step out is the step into a shackle where you chain yourself to hope. And as that hope starts to revive, where you say, okay, I'll try it tomorrow morning when I wake up. In fact, I'll even try it now. I'll even try it now. I'll claim God's favor. I'll claim God's mercy in my life. I will speak it out when I'm driving to work. I'll speak out that I have favor in every job that I do today, in every person that I come in contact with. When I go to school, it's the same thing. No exception. I'll try it. I'll try it once, Jerry. Hey, what if it doesn't work, Jerry? What if it doesn't work? Oh, well, that's easy. Why don't you just stop and die? Now, that's what a lot of people want to do. Of course, that's not what you want to do. You want to do it again and again and again. You just keep moving your life forward so that you see the greatness of God unfold to you. In Isaiah 61, do you know that in verse 7, do you know that God gave them double for their shame, for the problems that they were forced to go through, the Levites? He gave them double. What kind of shame have you gone through in your life because of oppression or because of abuse? Because you have been stuck in the past. What kind of shame have you gone through? Bad feelings and discontent and lack. What kind have you gone through? Well, folks, it's time for it to be over with. Because God's going to restore you, your life. But you have to expect it. You have to claim it. You could do it in any situation, but you've got to do that. And Job, I love this one in Job 42. Do you remember Job? He's the one that, well, he was the wealthiest man of that time. More animals and more land and more everything. God's blessings just all over him. And for some reason, the devil attacked him and took it all away. He was left without anything but a body and boils and a wife that yelled at him and three miserable comforters that kept telling him he was screwed up for the way he was handling it. 9 months of boils, folks. A body of boils. Can you imagine that? Nope, you can't. There's just no way. And one day, though, it says that God turned the captivity of Job. And Job turned in his ashes and sackcloth for a whole new life. And in Job 42, verse 10, it says that the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Is it time for you to have your twice as much? Or was Job just the only favorite in the Bible? Well, he wasn't the only favorite in the Bible. Because my Bible talks about Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery in Egypt. And look what God did for him. It's time for you to turn in your slavery and time for you to grow into the greatness of abundance that God has for you. But it doesn't stop there. What about Abraham and Sarah? The Bible says that it was the favor of God in their life that allowed them to have a kid at almost 100 years old. Well, don't you think he could favor you? Don't you think it's time to give up the old? Don't you think it's time to drop that dead baggage? Oh, you might have some pretty recent scars. But I'm here to tell you that it's time to let him heal and to get out of that season. This season I'm talking about is a lifestyle. It's not a little bit of time. It's time for you to give up the little bits and the little fragments of time that have troubled you so dearly throughout life, to cut them off. And it's time for you to walk into a new lifestyle. You have no reason to not do it. You have no reason to not claim God's mercy, to claim His favor, to have an I can do attitude, to have expectation with passion. It's time. It's time. There's no reason for you to sit where you are today anymore. And so you might say, well, I'll try it tomorrow. Or you might say, well, I've had a really tough recent experience and gosh, Jerry, I don't know. I trust that you see this as a new life. So exciting that you don't want to wait. That you don't want to give one more ounce of time to that thought that holds you back. But that you are so excited to move into the greatness of what God has in store for you. That, my friends, is pressing forward toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.